Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a chance, please check us out at consumerguide.com. All our new car fun reviews are there. I recently did something called How Big is the ID Buzz? It's a comparison. It's a comparison of whether or not the ID Buzz is a legit minivan.
Okay.
So a nice chart I put together. It took me hours to do the chart, but it compares the size of all the minivans available right now in the U.S. And interestingly, the Buzz is smaller externally, but maybe not so much smaller internally.
Hmm.
That third row, huge.
Yes.
But it's only two passengers. Some weird stuff going on there.
Okay.
So it depends on what you need from a minivan, but if you can go electric and you don't need some of the stuff that maybe the ID Buzz does not have, it could make a great minivan for you.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't hit the road in it.
Yes.
Because again, the mileage is an issue. 235 miles. I saw way, way, way better than that. But the temperatures have been incredibly mild around Chicago lately.
Yeah.
This is like the nicest early autumn we've had in decades.
Yeah.
It's so nice out.
Yes.
I usually complain about the weather. Today I'm not.
I'm like, do you complain about the weather?
That voice is Jill Simonello, contributing editor here at ConsumerGuide.com, freelancer and North American Car of the Year juror. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I haven't seen you in a while because we pre-recorded. You let that slip.
I did.
We pre-recorded last week's episode.
Sometimes you need a day off.
Yeah, and we got it.
Yeah.
And we got it.
Yeah, and I actually spent my day off in Utah in the mountains there training for the Revell Rally.
Oh, how'd that go?
I think it went well.
Real quick, by the way, you are not sponsored this year.
No.
So you were trying to raise some money, a GoFundMe account. Just tell us about that real quick.
Yeah. So, you know, my partner actually paid our entry fee, which is $15,000. And so thank you, Lola. But I agreed when I agreed to join the team that I would pick up and help with like pretty much all the other expenses along the way. And I'm hoping to get some money back to her for a registration, as well as, you know, take care of some of our final expenses, which include fuel.
Now, when you say final expenses,
not at the end. I'm not planning on dying.
I didn't know if you were planning for a dire end to this.
No. It's only like fuel costs, accommodations as we stay at the hotel where our tech inspection is, and stuff like that.
I get a lot of calls, spam calls, about final expense plans.
Hmm.
Yeah. I always like play along if I have time to see how far I can go. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Later in the show, speaking of the Revell Rally, we have Samantha Barber and Becky Brophy, both from Toyota.
Yes.
Here to talk a little Revell Rally, and specifically why Toyota is involved in the Revell Rally and what they get out of it.
Yeah.
With the emphasis on what they get out of it.
Yes.
And the folks at Honda, so Shira Honda, I think that was the Honda's founder's name, once said that racing improves the breed.
Yeah.
He's attributed with having said that first. But truly, it's not a horse thing. It's a car thing that you go out, you race, and you learn stuff from that. Because everything happens quickly and more painfully.
And more publicly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and one of the great things about the Revell Rally, and I'm hoping that Becky and Sam will talk about this, is, you know, the idea that you take a stock vehicle, so a vehicle that you go to your dealer and buy, and then you can do all this hard stuff with. And so, I I'm not going to be in, like last year I was driving a Ram RHO. This year I'm driving a 2007 Honda Ridgeline. So, I mean, not necessarily one you would think that could be a strenuous off-roader, but it, you know, and we did make some modifications to it, but it does hold its own off-road.
What kind of mods did you make? Is it bulletproof?
Yes.
Okay.
No. No, so it has a
because that's the most dangerous part of the course.
Yeah. Yeah, the bullets that we have to fly through at the end to get to the finish line. No. It's got a lift. It's got some extra skid plates, some different wheels. So, I mean, nothing like crazy.
Backseat porta potty?
There is a porta potty involved, but it's not in the backseat.
Okay.
And it's not actually a part of the truck, but I'm just going to say we have one.
That would be handy.
Yeah.
You know, the Rebel Rally is all women, but guys handle that situation better.
Yeah, they can. Although, have you ever heard of a shiwi?
Nope, and we don't need to go there.
No, we do not.
I've learned enough from the name.
Yes, that is. You have learned everything you need to know.
All right, you just mentioned their names. Later in the show, we talked to Samantha Barber and Becky Brophy about Toyota and the Rebel Rally. You had a quick note about electric cars.
Well, so there's going to be an Electrify Expo this weekend in Chicago. So I guess this is more of a Chicago-specific shout-out here. But it's going to be in the Hoffman Estates area at the Now Arena. I don't know what Now is.
That's
or what it
was. The old Sears Arena.
Oh, okay. So there
or
you
Sears,
go.
I forgot what it was called, but yeah.
Now.
It's
now.
Yep. Used to be Sears.
You can buy like a general admissions ticket, or you can buy like a VIP pack and have like special access and VIP treatment, all that. So like tickets to the expo are like $20 or $59, depending on what you do. But what I really wanted to call out is Ford is doing a Cars and Coffee that's free and open to the public from 8 until 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. So that's the 13th. And they're going to have their electrified lineup there and some experts who can do walk-arounds of their vehicles and talk about that.
So Ford's thing is Ford vehicles specifically.
Yes, I believe so.
But it's free.
Yes.
And okay, that's out there.
It's open to the public.
And is there a website for people to go to for any of this?
If you search for like Electrify Expo in Chicago, you should find that. I looked for a link to the Cars and Coffee and didn't see one, but I think Rhonda will send us one, our PR person. So.
Coming up soon too is Chicago Drives Electric.
Yes.
And that is produced by the Chicago Automobile Trade Association.
Yes.
Similar vibe.
Yeah.
Different things. It is free, but you do have to register for everything. And they tend to fill out fast. So you can go to the Chicago Automobile Trade Association homepage and find out everything about that.
Yes.
But you need to register.
So lots of electric things coming up.
Yeah. And that's cool.
It is.
That's cool. You have been up to what is it called? The Now Arena?
No.
What's it called?
Now?
The arena in Hoffman Estates.
Now.
No.
I've not been there.
You have.
Okay.
For media events.
Okay.
They have a huge, huge, huge parking lot.
Okay.
We have used it for stuff. Way back when, a lot of Mopar stuff.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Not that that matters in any way to anything. I am driving the Audi S5.
Okay.
A vehicle we don't think about much, I guess, but it's a coupe. Well, it's supposed to be a coupe.
Okay.
The A5 is supposed to be a coupe, but this is the Sportback.
Okay.
This is the four-door that is basically replacing the Audi A4.
Yeah.
Which means that their compact four-door is going to get more expensive next year.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a nice car.
Yeah, I saw you pulled into the parking lot ahead of me, and I was like, that has to be Tom.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to drive that car.
So I'm driving the S5, not the A5, and that comes with a twin turbocharged 3-liter V6. It sounds glorious.
And I bet it probably is very smooth and drives nice as well.
Oh, yeah. Really pronounced shifts.
Okay.
You would definitely want to test drive this, and if you think that shifts that you feel are not entirely compatible with a luxury vehicle, maybe you don't do this.
Hmm.
So definitely test drive it. I love it.
Okay.
And the interior is surprisingly not Audi. It's very simple, very monotone. It's good. I mean,
that is very Audi to me.
But there's not a lot of, there's no chrome accents.
Okay. I'm like, Audi is very plain.
Really? No. I remember Audi being extremely avant-garde with a lot of chrome and polished aluminum and stuff like that.
It always looked to me like just a stepped up Volkswagen.
No, I never had that feeling. Mm. Audi was, I thought, the king of interiors before Genesis.
Interesting.
Took that from them.
Hmm.
But anyway, I finished finally. Took me forever, and I don't know why this took me forever, except that I was sick last week. My story about going car shopping with my daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's done. That's up. That's published. If people want to check that out, I will link to that. And I guess I could link to Chicago Drives Electric and to... what is it? The Expo.
The Electrify Expo.
That.
Yeah.
So I can link to those things
as
Now
Arena.
So my daughter has read it and approved it. So.
Would you have posted it if she didn't approve it?
Probably. I tend to exaggerate things, and that irritates her. No, she's good with this.
Okay, that's good.
So that's up. That's out there. It's really long. Lots of good pictures.
Okay.
So, good. All right. Chinese door handles.
I don't know where you're going with
this. If we had a lot of commercial breaks, we could cut to one right now. That would be a great teaser.
Okay.
Chinese door handles.
After the break, Chinese door handles.
One of these crazy little stories, but it makes for good conversation. In China, they have cars.
Do they?
You knew that part,
no,
I think.
No, I had no idea. I thought they were still using horses.
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
But the Chinese...
And by the way, I kid. Sometimes people think we're serious.
That guy says he's not listening anymore anyway.
Okay.
So I'm not too worried. The guy who thought we were making fun of the Swedish.
Okay.
Quite the opposite. We love the Swedish.
We do?
And Swedish fish? Dang.
They're not the same.
Love them. Chinese door handles.
Okay.
China is outlawing flush door handles in 2026.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the reasons for it make perfect sense.
Okay.
Usually you hear about like some crazy law in another country and you're like, what? But this one makes perfect sense. They are worried, and apparently there has been some examples of this happening, door handles that are flush with the car may not pop out or be accessible in the event or aftermath of an accident.
Oh. Yeah.
So
I could see that.
Yeah. And I just drove a car that had like a leveraged flush. And I think that'll be fine. You press on one side and it pops out on the other.
Okay.
So it's like on a lever. So that's cool. But other than that, they're worried that the battery may not be in a position to force the things out. You can't get in there and get them out. So that, gone.
That actually is a very logical.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the U.S. hasn't thought about that.
It seems like the kind of things that American worrywarts would have gotten to by now, or even more European worrywarts.
Yeah, so we are now putting it out there for all of our European listeners.
Also, China at odds with Tesla very often.
Yeah.
I think all Tesla door handles are flush and pop out.
Yeah, I think that sounds right to me.
So this is going to be a huge pain in the ass for Tesla. Because they don't have enough pains in the ass right now to deal with.
No.
Speaking of
pains in the ass?
Yes, I have a Tesla story for you.
Okay.
And it's one of those stories that seems counterintuitive, but then when you hear the whole story, you're like, I bet this makes sense. The Tesla Cybertruck.
Okay.
The Cyber Beast.
I've heard it called other things, but okay.
Yeah, it was $102,000.
Uh-huh.
They've just raised the price to $117,000.
Because they're selling so many of them?
Well, that's the question, right? Why do you, when you have a vehicle no one wants to buy anyway, do you raise the price on your most expensive model of the vehicle? Any guesses?
No.
It makes sense when you hear the whole story.
Okay.
They're adding a bunch of stuff standard.
Okay.
So there's something called the luxury package, and I couldn't find out exactly what was in the luxury package, but one of the things is full self-driving.
Okay.
So that's usually a very expensive standalone option. That can cost more than 10 grand anyway.
Okay.
Plus free lifetime charging, special connected services, and I don't know what they are. But they're taking all these things that people probably order all the time and putting them on the vehicle, making them standard and raising the price 15 grand. And I suspect that this isn't about revenue. I suspect that this is about inventory management.
Okay.
When a vehicle is selling like 1/6 or 1/7 as well as you had intended it to, you can't really have as many models and trim levels and variations on the vehicle. So for probably the least popular version, the $102,000 Cyberbeast, everything's all included. It's sort of a one-price thing. There's probably no options you can add to it. And it's just the single price, and it probably makes it easier to manage inventory.
Okay. And that, so it sounds like what they have done, and you may not have an answer to this, is that they've essentially taken all the things that would have subscription fees, and they've just rolled it into the, you know, the original price. And so, like...
I hadn't thought about that.
So, because I'm wondering then, okay, you've bought the full self-driving, but does that include, you know, full self-driving forever?
Usually when you pay the full price for it, that's included forever.
Okay.
And then I never understand the answer about whether or not that transfers to the next owner.
Yeah, probably not.
But free charging for life is a nice thing.
Yeah, free charging for life. Also, with connected services, I anticipate that would be... So Tesla doesn't have Apple CarPlay. And so, and I think they use, like, I don't know if they use Google Maps or not, but they would have, like,
I think they do.
So they would have some form of, like, a Google built-in system, and most automakers charge for that after a free trial. So maybe they're including all of that with, you know, for the lifetime of the first owner.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going on there. Also, speaking of the Cybertruck, and I hate to rub salt in wounds, maybe I don't.
No, you don't.
But I'm now seeing at retail resellers of vehicles, Cybertrucks slipping under 70 grand used. So they're now in the high 60s in a lot of cases. So the resale value plummet continues to plummet.
Continues to plummet, yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, so just wait a year. And you can pick up a Cybertruck for a steal if you really want one.
If people read this story that I wrote about my daughter's car, they will learn that we bought a year-old car, mm-hmm. a certified pre-owned. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why there are things like certified pre-one-year-old cars with 8,000 miles on them. But there it was, and it was a heck of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's substantially cheaper than a new vehicle. Also, and this is weird, I think I mentioned this last week, or last time we spoke, but maybe not. There were no Hyundai Konas available in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Sold out. Kia Seltos almost sold out. And in the case of the CX-30, the Mazda CX-30, which my daughter ultimately ended up buying, premium trim level versions of that vehicle with a 2.5 turbo, not available. Only the more affordable 2.5, what do they call them, S2.5, something like that?
Yeah, 2.5S or, yeah.
Yeah, delightful
Sport,
cars.
Yeah.
But they don't quite have the spunk. But those were not available either. So it's interesting that affordable cars are disappearing.
Yeah.
And continue to disappear. And we'll see what happens with the Seltos and the Kona. And I will stay on top of that story and watch for 2026 models. But I would not be surprised if they'll be scarce.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Okay.
Toyota.
Yes.
You've heard of them.
Maybe.
One of the more popular brands in the U.S. The Highlander.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, the Highlander, or the Grand Highlander, was introduced.
Okay.
And it was basically a larger Highlander, not a lot larger, but with a significantly mm-hmm. more useful third row.
Yes.
That was kind of the big selling point.
Yeah, yeah.
And in terms of price, well, they're a little bit differently styled.
Mm-hmm.
Grille's different. The dash is actually not a clone. The Grand Highlander doesn't look exactly like the Highlander. But they didn't price the Grand Highlander excessively higher than the Highlander. It was like within a grand or two. So very accessible. Here's the deal with that. Grand Highlander now outsells Highlander by about 2-1.
Yeah.
Which I fully get.
Yeah.
I fully appreciate why that would be. So, situation a little bit like the Tesla. Not quite the same. People still buy Highlanders.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer sales. Maybe you don't need all the trim levels. So this is one of those things that we've been talking about for affordability and losing base models. For 2025... the Highlander LE was $41,815 base price. Toyota has killed the LE for 2026.
Okay.
Making the cheapest version of the Highlander now the XLE.
Okay.
Which kicks in at $46,765. So if you wanted a Highlander, not a Grand Highlander, the access point is now $5,000 higher. So that's rough.
Yeah.
It reflects lower sales. And I've got the sales right here. Grand Highlander so far through the end of July, or the end of June, I'm sorry, 65,000 Grand Highlanders, 30,000 Highlanders.
So
2-1.
I wonder, and I'm not a math expert at all, but I wonder how much $5,000 translates into a monthly payment. Is it like $10? Is it $40? Because...
there used to be, I think if you... at 0% interest or something like that, it was $1,000 was $25 a month. So $5,000 is $125 a month.
Okay, so that's significant. That's how much I pay for my parking space in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, if we just call it $100, that's a significant chunk of a monthly payment.
That's a lot of Starbucks coffees.
Now, on the other hand, we don't know how many people were buying the base LE.
Fair point.
And you're probably not losing too many people, and the ones you're losing are already in the showroom and might just go with a very well-equipped RAV4.
Right.
So who knows what the opportunity cost of this is.
Right.
I don't know how many people you're moving upstream.
Right.
But anyway, interesting story. And we saw this with the Explorer. The Explorer went from 8 trim levels to 4 trim levels, clipping off the bottom trim levels.
Yep.
So Explorer got much more expensive for 2025.
Yeah.
All righty. Now, you recently.
Currently.
currently? Oh, yes. I didn't see it yet. What is it, like that silver blue?
It's more of a cement color.
Okay. You are driving the 2025 Volkswagen Tiguan.
Tiguan.
And Volkswagen wants desperately to get deeper into this market.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a couple foibles. It wasn't always priced right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a little underpowered.
Mm-hmm.
But the 2025 is redesigned.
Yes.
Significantly redesigned. It's not a complete redesign. Tell us about this compact Volkswagen.
Yeah, so I took a road trip, drove down to Indianapolis to see my mom last weekend, and so I've spent a lot of time in this car.
And you didn't have to charge because it's not electric.
It's not electric, thank goodness. So I did not have to stop at Electrify America along the way. But I've spent a lot of time in it, and I am really having a hard time finding things that I don't like about it. It's comfortable, it's fast. The auto stuff.
It's fast.
Yeah, it's like very nice and peppy. It's well powered.
I want to put a pin in it's fast and we'll get back to
it. Okay, well, I mean, it's a 2.0 liter four-cylinder turbocharged engine, 201 horsepower, but that is it is the right amount of power for this vehicle, I think.
The previous generation was down, I think, 17 horsepower.
Okay.
And people frequently described it as slow.
Yeah, no, this has a good amount of pep.
Well, that's good.
And, you know, it's small enough to be nimble, but it's big enough to hold your stuff. And the seats, so I had the top tier SEL R-Line trim, so $41,000,
One reason to hate on Volkswagen is terrible trim level names.
SEL R-Line.
They have complicated names that aren't repeated later.
No.
What the hell is R-Line?
I think it's a design package. Yeah, it's like sporty design,
R-Line. And then isn't like the second from the top, like R-Line Black Edition?
I don't know, but it's just like, I don't know. At any rate, but top tier, it's about $41,000, and
out the door.
Out the door.
Okay.
I think it was like 41,180. Wait, I wrote it down. Okay. 41,180. I got it.
I wish that compact crossovers weren't 40 grand now, but they are.
Yeah, yeah, and this has all the things on it. So it has a large infotainment screen, digital display, head-up display. It has wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. It has a wireless phone charger. It has the heated and cooled seats. It has comfortable seats. The leather on the specific test vehicle that I have is like brown and black, and it's a really nice combination. It looks really handsome. The overall design of the vehicle is attractive. I think they and because this is the top tier trim, it has the lights in the front, like the welcome lighting, and the emblem that lights up in the front, and the emblem that lights up in the back. And I've noticed, so my garage in my apartment building is dark, and I walk around the corner from the hallway and I walk into the dark garage and the vehicle senses my keys, and all of a sudden, like, the headlights turn on and then the light bar comes on, and then as you walk around the vehicle, the side lights come on and the puddle lamp comes on, and then you know you walk up to the side and then the back lights come on, and it's just very cool.
I had the same experience with the Volkswagen ID Buzz.
Yeah, it's
as
just
I
very
approached
cool.
It went, it came to life.
Yeah,
it was kind of freaky.
Well, you know, and I've never been in a garage situation where I can like walk around a corner and bam, there it is. You know, usually I'm unlocking the door and I'm behind the vehicle or whatever, and so it's just kind of nice to be able to experience the welcome lighting as you're supposed to experience it.
You had mentioned ride-in handling, and I think that Volkswagen almost never messes that up.
They did once.
What car?
The Taos. Remember, you and I both had problems with the Taos. I think it was the all-wheel drive.
Well, that's not ride-in handling. Okay, that's drivetrain. And yes, that was terrible.
That was terrible.
Yeah, and in a nutshell, with all-wheel drive, they forced you to take a double-clutch transmission.
Yeah.
That was not... Yeah, it was absolutely not appropriate for that vehicle.
It was very bad.
But ride-in handling,
right,
that was...
Yes, you're right.
Or almost always spat on. If Volkswagen still has a calling card thing that they can always turn to, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great news. And I just drove the Taos, the new Taos, which no longer has that terrible transmission.
Yes.
And I think that one of the things, if I'm going to give Volkswagen compliments, ride and handling is always good.
Yeah.
Generally, quietness is good, too.
Yep.
And then the interior always seems roomier, even maybe than it is, mm-hmm. but certainly roomy for the class. It's almost as if the doors are thinner and the dash is a little bit more forward,
mm-hmm.
but they make fantastic use of space.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the dollar value is always there. And did you have any connectivity issues?
I had one instance where my phone, like, was connected to Apple CarPlay and then deconnected, and then I couldn't get it reconnected, so...
That is my problem with Volkswagen.
But I just had one... It only happened to me once.
Okay. It's getting better.
Yeah.
And I just drove the ID. Buzz, mm-hmm. which I think is the newest version of their connectivity system, mm-hmm. and it was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
It still does really weird things when you're playing music, like it doesn't display the right album cover.
Hmm.
And if you try to randomize, at some point it forgets it's randomizing and just continues to play the album it was on, which is weird.
That could be that could be a phone problem and not a problem.
It could
with the
be,
car.
But like I don't have these problems. Like right now I'm in the Audi, strangely, which is a Volkswagen product.
Right.
No problems at all.
Hmm.
And then I'm getting into a Lexus next week, and I suspect I'll have no problems at all because I never have problems with Lexus connectivity.
With Lexi connectivity?
So this vehicle competes with a bunch of stuff that sells better.
Right.
Though this sells well.
Yeah.
But RAV4, CR-V, Rogue, how does it compare with those?
I think it's more luxury than those vehicles. I think it's kind of...
Really?
Yeah. To me, it's a lot nicer. It looks... I mean, to me, this looks like what Audi should be.
Do you think the interior materials here are...
I do.
See, I felt like even in the ID. Buzz, but certainly in the Taos, everything was tidy, really well engineered. Everything looked good. Mm-hmm. It looked German, you know, in the best possible way. Just neat and well thought out and laid mm-hmm. out, and everything was good. But I thought there was a lot of cheap materials just hidden under the surface.
I mean, there are a couple of things that kind of annoy me about the vehicle, and one is the armrest area where it doesn't create a full encapsulated storage area. So
uh-huh.
like, and then when you flip up the armrest, it like you have to go all the way back and then put it down, and then it still leaves a hole in the front, so you can't hide anything like your keys or whatever in the armrest
uh-huh.
area. So that does
That's
feel a little flimsy
thing.
And it's a little bit annoying. I like the position of the wireless charger. I like the clip that holds your wireless charger in place, but it does overheat your phone.
Your phone. We have to get to the bottom of this because my phone never overheats.
You're never in your car for 3 hours at a time.
No, but I'm in the phone for long periods of time, and I'm always forgetting to charge my phone, so I'm always using the phone charger. And the one in this Audi, by the way, rocket fast.
Okay, yeah, and this is not fast. And like, I probably got about an hour into my drive when my phone just stopped charging because it heated up my phone too much.
Do you remember how fussy those used to be?
Yeah, you had to like put it in exactly the right spot.
And now this Audi, it's a slot into, like, you just drop it.
Yeah, General Motors does that.
You just drop it in there, and it just charges.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
and quickly.
The other thing that I noticed with this car that I thought was really weird is it has, so this model specifically has special glass that's like heat insulated and 100% UV protection.
The side glass or?
The front, the windshield.
Oh, the windshield? Okay.
Trying to go through the tolls, I could not get it to read my toll reader.
That's old school.
And so like I was like sticking my toll pass outside on my roof trying to get it to like, and I was just having a heck of a time. And so I actually just sent a text message to our, because there's open tolling on the way up here. So I just sent a text message to our fleet manager, and I was like, so out of curiosity, do you have the license plate synced with this? Because the toll readers are having a hard time reading my toll pass through the
glass.
Send them
donuts, because it's not worth it for them to try to get a buck 80 from you.
It's like more than that.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you don't pay it, I think they charge you like hundreds of dollars in late fees.
My daughter got a new car, and uh-huh. she's been using my iPass because uh-huh. she likes the sticker one,
uh-huh.
and she can't remove it from her old car.
Uh-huh.
All right, anyway.
Yeah.
So the Tiguan for 2025 is available in S-E-S-E R-Line Black. Dang them. And SEL R-Line.
Yes.
Went from 184 to 201 horsepower, and ranges retail from 31,670 to 41,930.
Yep.
The 41930, I guess, is with all-wheel drive. Or no, I think all-wheel drive is standard on the top trim level.
Yep, that's the one I had.
Nice car.
Really like it. A couple of quirks, but none of them are deal breakers. Good technology. A little bit hard to get used to the infotainment system. But I still have questions into Volkswagen about that.
All right.
So, but I think if you sit down with your dealer and have them walk you through it, you'll get it no problem. But I like it, yes.
So if you're looking at a small crossover, this belongs in the RAV4 CR-V Rogue conversation.
And I like this one the best.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Toyota folks about Rebel Rally.
Yes.
So stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. She is Jill Simonello. And we're talking a lot of stuff today.
We are.
We just talked Toyota. Or no, we just talked Volkswagen.
Yes.
Talked a little Toyota.
Yes.
And we talked a little Tesla.
Yes.
All right. But we're going to talk a little Rebel Rally now.
We are.
On the phone with us from Toyota is Samantha Barber and Becky Brophy. How are you guys?
Hi. We're doing good. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us and joining us late notice. We had a shuffle in the schedule, and I know that this was an undue complication for you guys, so we really appreciate it.
It's exciting for us to get to do these types of things.
Well, I'm glad to have you. You guys, tell us what you do. Samantha, why don't you start? Tell us what you do at Toyota.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Samantha Barber. I am a senior manager in our production engineering division, and we are the bridge between design and manufacturing. So as our new models are designed, we have groups that check that 3D CAD for its manufacturability, and then we also ready the manufacturing plants with new equipment or equipment modifications to produce those new models for our customers.
Hi, this is Becky. So I am also in the production engineering division. I'm a senior engineer, and what I do is I work on equipment install in the assembly shop. So I work at, we're both based out of Kentucky. So we work at TMMK, which is the actually the largest Toyota plant in the world. So it's super exciting for us. We love to be here. And working on, installment to help install chassis equipment for the vehicle.
Now that is a big factory, right? About 7,000 employees?
Yeah, yep. Something like that. Yep.
And what do you guys make down there right now?
So right now we are producing the Camry, the RAV4, and the Lexus ES.
Okay, all popular stuff. Now, this is a perfect conversation, and I didn't realize how perfect your positions at Toyota serve the conversation we're going to have today. But as you know, Jill Simonello, my co-host, has been part of the Rebel Rally now for 3 years.
Yep, this will be my fourth year.
And you guys have been part of the Rebel Rally for a number of years as well. And the conversation we wanted to have really was to ask you guys what it is that your takeaways are from this kind of racing, or it's not really racing, right?
No.
It's a motorsport.
Yes.
And what it is you guys take away from that. And really how you guys got involved in the Rebel Rally directly anyway.
Yeah, so I'll kick us off about how we got involved with Rebel. So in 2020, I had a friend reach out to me sharing an article about Rebel and what it was and what they had going on. And it aligned a lot with my passions. I've got a motorsports engineering degree, and I did the Baja 1000 back in 2024 with Toyota. So that coworker friend shared that article, and I was super excited about it and followed through 2020. We had internally paused our grassroots motorsports team based on COVID. And I was pregnant with my second child, so we were working through that part of life. But we looked into that, and you know, I reached out to Becky, and I said, hey, would you want to do this with me? And it was an immediate yes. I'm not even sure she had time to open the link, really. And then we started putting together our slide deck for executives on how this would align with company goals and how it could develop our people and what the benefits are we could get out of it. And in February of 21, we got that approval and the funding to enter for our first year. And
congratulations.
Jumped right in April of that year to training. And when we started, Becky and I had no experience with map and compass. That was all very new and really pretty limited off-road. So we were able to talk through the Rebel U courses that are offered.
I was in the same situation, by the way, when Christian and I first started with Rebel. It is a challenge. I was wondering if you could take us inside your slide deck that you presented to Toyota just a little bit. And so like what kinds of goals and things did you present to them to say, hey, this is why we should be doing this?
Yeah, so kind of right off the bat, you know, we knew obviously we would be developing some sort of technical skills, right? Like we would learn how to better drive off-road. We would learn how to navigate and do all those things. But what we also saw was we wanted the chance to be able to promote women in motorsports and engineers in motorsports. So that was something we really connected with. And then just challenging ourselves with this crazy game was something we were kind of drawn toward. But I think even after just that very first Rebel U training, which, you know, was 4 days, out in the desert, again, you know, practicing all of the skills that that we learned for competition, we found, I mean, even more value in it. So we say that it's a leadership development program for us because you learn so much about communication, how to be more efficient that way, ownership of, you know, when things go wrong, taking ownership of how to solve those problems, and then problem solving as a whole. So, you know, as Toyota, we're very grounded in our problem solving. So this was a really cool opportunity to be able to practice those skills.
So what vehicle did you guys drive in your first Rebel?
Yeah, our first year we were in a previous gen Sequoia. So it was outfitted to as a prototype for the first TRD Pro Sequoia.
Oh.
Was that the Sequoia?
Yeah, it was.
I thought that was so clever.
So you guys did a Sequoia, and then you said it was outfitted with the next generation TRD. So to some extent, this was just in how it was equipped, sort of testing how stuff would work out in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty much a perfect fit, I think, for us that first year because we really wanted something that we made in North America. So we wanted to showcase that. So yeah, it was a really cool connection for both of us to be able to be in a vehicle that we actually make and design here in North America.
So is that part of the reason you guys didn't go 4Runner? That's imported, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then you could have gone Tacoma, I suppose.
Yeah, Tacoma or Tundra. All of them are here in North America.
Yeah.
But it was a balance of vehicle availability and, you know, we didn't know what we were getting into, so that Sequoia was available to us and we had a wonderful time with it.
So you guys are not the only team that Toyota presents. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about how many teams Toyota has put into the rally and how do you get to select or how do you choose? How do you, you know, who gets to raise their hand for this? Is it anybody or, you know, do you ask people to join or like who gets to compete?
Yeah, so, you know, in 2021 when we started, it was just two Toyota teams. It was our production engineering team and then the team out of R&D in Michigan. And as we learned from that first year, we came back again with another slide deck to executives to expand the program because we saw that value in it. And so our second year, we brought in three teams from Toyota, and then we jumped up to six teams the following year,
wow.
Seven teams after that. Yeah, so we've continued to grow our program. This year, we're going to have six total. Five of those are our internal team. So we'll have two from production engineering, two from R&D, and then one from our spare parts and accessory division in Texas. And then this year, for the first time, we're partnering with X Overland and Rochelle Croft. So she'll also be running for Toyota this year.
So that's a lot of cars to have out there running in this rally. And I assume then after the fact, you guys do want to gather information and data about how the vehicles performed or how they didn't perform. Do you guys like intentionally autopsy these vehicles? Do you break them down yourselves? Do you interview the drivers? How do you guys gather information after the fact?
Yeah, our typical way is interviewing the teams. We do some internal surveys, and then we also talk to the members that competed about their experience and feed that back to our R&D group.
And what did you guys learn yourselves? I mean, you're engineers. I think you guys have a lot of insight that other people wouldn't have.
I've been the driver with Sam for the past 4 years, so I can speak to a lot of the, you know, the vehicle interface or, you know, performance. And honestly, I'm just amazed at what our vehicles can do. It's just crazy. The places that we get to go and, you know, that you would never even know existed in the U.S., but are, you know, public lands that we get to enjoy. And, you know, oftentimes it's the vehicle in your driveway that you just don't realize its full potential. So that's been really cool to see.
So do you guys participate in Bone Stock?
Yeah, we did 1 year in a 4Runner. We took it Bone Stock. Normally, we are pulled out of Bone Stock because we do add skid plates. Yeah, the skid plates we add normally take us out of Bone Stock. But other than skid plates, we get, you know, an off-road type tire rather than the highway tire, and we put an external odometer on. But that's typically all the modifications we do for our vehicles.
Or forgive me, I don't know what bone stock is, Joe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, so bone stock essentially means that you buy this from the dealership and then you drive it to the Rebel Rally.
Oh, okay. And is that a category then?
Yeah. So last year I competed in bone stock in the Ram RHO.
Gotcha.
But the previous 2 years, I did not. So, but no, I find that really interesting that all you guys add are skid plates, because I think this really just showcases, you know, and what I think Emily Miller, the founder, would like to showcase is how capable the vehicles in your driveway actually are.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you guys competing this year?
Oh, well, we've got a little bit different. So Becky mentioned the last 4 years we have competed together as a team.
Okay.
This year we hadn't intended to compete, because as our program has grown internally, you know, the goal is to develop leaders. Mm-hmm. So if Becky and I keep taking a seat, then less people get that development, that growth that Rebel offers.
Great point.
Becky is on staff this year. She'll be driving the media team. And I was just going to be there for the finish line. But we actually had a member of our R&D rookie team turn out not able to compete this year. And they needed someone to sub in. So they discussed internally and they did reach out. So I'll be competing on one of the R&D teams with a rookie this year. And my role is going to change from being a navigator to a driver. So I also get some new developments this year. Yeah.
Fun. What are you driving this year then?
I will be in a 2024 Tacoma TRD Pro.
Okay. That seems like it would be really good at this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Those Tacomas are a lot of fun out there.
So going back, you guys drove Tundra and you drove Sequoia. Are those vehicles too big for this sort of thing? What was it that surprised you about their capability, and maybe what made it difficult to drive those?
Yeah, I know they are big vehicles, and Jill, I'm sure you can relate to this from last year. But really, I mean, the only time I would say, you know, I had to, I don't know, take some extra time just because it was that larger vehicle, is if, you know, we happen to go the wrong way on a trail, which is very seldom, right, Sam?
Never happens.
If I had to try to take a U-turn on a very small trail, obviously that's a little bit more difficult. But other than that, I think, you know, no matter what I'm driving, I try to adapt to, you know, the strengths or the different dynamics of that particular vehicle. So something like, you know, your Tundras, your Sequoias, your larger vehicles that have that longer wheelbase, they're going to be, you know, a little bit less, you know, nimble, I guess, for those tight turns.
Yeah.
But they're going to be super stable, super comfortable. I mean, that Tundra was just a joy down any dirt road. Was like so, so comfortable. I loved it.
Interesting. So if people want to keep track of everything that Toyota is doing at this year's.
Because it's a lot.
Rebel, yeah. Yeah, break that down for us. How many cars are you guys running?
So we'll have 5 internal teams this year.
Wow.
For that, yep. And we've got a mixture of vehicles. We like to showcase, you know, many of our types of trucks. So we do have the all-new 2025 4Runner Trail Hunter. We've got the Tacoma TRD Pro that I mentioned, a 2024 Land Cruiser, and then 2 Sequoias. So we've got quite our whole fleet out there with our 5 teams.
Wow, you guys are busy. That's cool. So tell me, obviously people can go to Rebel Rally and check out their website, and there's pretty good daily live coverage of the rally. Are you guys doing anything in addition to cover the Toyota activity?
Well, Toyota does sponsor the live show. Mm-hmm. So with that sponsorship of the live show, yeah, there is plugged into our social media, Toyota social media account will be shared there as well.
Cool. What are you guys most excited about this year?
I'm really excited to see the other side. You know, I've been a competitor for the past 4 years, but I can't wait to see what it's like on the other side of it.
Sounds good.
You're going to be working with my partner next year, or this year.
I know. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, we have flat run out of time, but we totally appreciate you guys joining us today. And good luck with the rally.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jill.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm so excited you guys could join, and I'll look forward to seeing you in, what, less than 30 days?
Wow, it's coming up fast.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you, guys. All right, that was Samantha Barber and Becky Brophy with Toyota. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill. And we are closing in on quiz time. But first, you're vaguely, loosely affiliated with some social media activity.
Loosely, vaguely associated with social media. Yeah, I'm on pretty much everything. And you can find me at Jill Simonello. And the hashtag I use is Car Du Jour. So, you know, and I love to talk cars with people.
There you go. I am Car Guy Tom on X and Blue Sky.
And did you join TikTok over the weekend?
No.
Because I got a notification that said somebody in your contacts has joined TikTok called Car Guy Tom.
Weird.
I'm just saying, you have a shadow account on TikTok now.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, my daughter sends me TikTok stuff.
Okay.
And we're very into following, like, new food releases and stuff like that. So that's a lot of stuff. Also, my daughter's into really strange things. Like, she's now super into Chernobyl and the whole disaster that was. So whenever something pops up there, she shares that with me as well.
Got it. So not you, but you.
Great. I've had shadow accounts. There's, like, one on Facebook again, too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why? What does anyone get from that?
Because they like to impersonate you.
But why?
I don't know.
So weird. All right. It's quiz time.
Okay.
We are a little pressed for time.
Okay.
On quiz time.
So you're telling me I can't dawdle?
Well, we have 11 minutes.
Okay. I can do this in 11 minutes. No problem.
Well, this might take you a little longer. You might want to have pen and paper handy.
Okay. Great. You're going to make me do math?
No. Today's topic is more spelling.
Great. I do have a pen.
Oh, what is that? What does that say? Oh, I'm a bright. Okay.
I'm a bright ray of sarcasm. That's what my pen says today.
Where did you get that pen?
I think my sister gave it to me.
Oh. All right. Today's topic is spelling. I'm going to give you a car model.
All right.
Just a car model that was sold in the U.S. How hard can this be?
Really hard.
And then you have to spell it.
Oh, great.
Five questions total plus the bonus question. You need three for a victory.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
First one's going to be the hardest.
Okay. No, it's probably the easiest.
That might be second hardest.
Okay.
Oldsmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra. Sierra was a compact size by modern standards, but it was a midsize sedan and coupe sold by Oldsmobile between 82 and 96. Very, very, very popular and very popular in rental fleets.
So,
Sierra.
Not to be confused with the GMC Sierra.
Nope, different vehicle.
So probably not spelled like the GMC Sierra.
I'm going to leave that to you. But probably not.
I don't think it begins with a C.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
Although now I'm rethinking that because you're very circumspect.
Yeah, yeah. I do need to rush you a little bit here.
No. Blech.
Yeah.
All right. I'll say S I E R A.
No. It's C I E R A.
C I E R A? Okay.
Oldsmobile Sierra.
Okay.
Extremely popular. It used to be everywhere. All right. You have no points.
Okay. Yeah. Your favorite phrase, I have no points.
Probably will get, though the spelling is strange. Alfa Romeo Giulia.
Oh, yeah. That's the. I do have to write that down. Because I always remember.
Because even if you know the weird part of it, the weird part of it is weird in a weird way.
So it's G-U-I-L-I-A.
No.
Is it G-I-U?
It's G-I-U.
Ah.
G-I-U-L-I-A. Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, it's Italian.
If it matters, it means youthful and devoted to Jupiter.
Okay.
All right, you have no points.
Oh, I still have no points.
Yeah, I'm putting little X's here. It means you have no points.
My spelling teacher from the fifth grade, Mrs. Young, is very disappointed in me right now.
Lamborghini Murcielago. You don't need to get the X correctly.
I think I'm going to not get this right.
I think you're not either. Murcielago. It was Lamborghini's. This was the 12-cylinder car between 2002 and 2010.
Okay.
Replaced by the Aventador. If you want, you could spell that later.
No, I think it's like Murcielago.
Yes.
Ah!
You just saved your butt. You're probably going to win, though.
No.
And 1 point. I'm going to write down 1 point. Murcielago means Bat.
Bat?
Yeah, we
as
get away
like
with
Batman?
One syllable in the U.S. Mercy Lago. They get five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you wonder why things are lost in translation?
Yes. This one's tough. Are you ready?
Okay.
Chevrolet Biscayne. And I know Randy can spell that.
Biscayne?
Biscayne.
I think it's B-I-S-C-A-Y-N-E.
Yes. Nice job.
Cool.
Yeah, the Biscayne was sold in the U.S. between 58 and 75. I didn't know it went as deep as 75. Because at that time, we were already calling things Impalas.
Okay.
And I think Caprice was already a trim level, too, of the big Chevys. Biscayne is a Basque region of Spain, which makes this the third week in a row we've mentioned the Basque.
You better be careful. Somebody's going to think we're making fun of them.
Yeah. All right. And finally, Ford Galaxy.
Oh.
Ford Galaxy.
I think it, because it's not Galaxy like you would normally spell it. I know that much.
Okay.
But I think it's G-A-L-A-X-I-E.
You win.
Huh?
Nice job. Yes, that's what it is. The Galaxy name, Wikipedia told me 59, but I don't remember a 59 Galaxy. I thought it kicked in for 60.
Hmm.
And 60 was a big redesign year for Ford.
Okay.
And that was the Galaxy was like a top trim level on the big Fords. So that name waited all the way through 74. And I think there's versions of it. Galaxy 500, I think. Galaxy XL 500. A lot of use of Galaxy. But you got 3 points. Nice job. You don't need the bonus question, but...
We always say the bonus question.
We do. Jill, how many McDonald's do you think there are on the planet?
100,000.
You're not terribly far off. 44,000.
Okay.
How many do you think there are in the U.S.?
20,000.
14,000.
Okay.
And finally, how many do you think there are in, I'm just taking this Basque thing too far, mm-hmm. Spain?
Okay, so I have a side story.
You have 4.5 minutes.
When I was trying, and this doesn't even remotely have to do with Spain, but it has to do with Italy. When I did the backpack thing when I was in college, in Italy.
How about that? You mean you watch TV with snacks in a backpack?
No.
Oh.
Literally traveled around in a backpack. But
in a backpack.
I could fit in the backpack. But
did the guy with the backpack know you were in it?
No, he did not. I was just tagging along. But it was a very large backpack. I actually probably could have fit in it. But it was, we did go to Spain, and then, but we started in Rome. And in Rome, the McDonald's there, and I don't know if they still do it, but at the time, they used to have maps at the McDonald's, like a 3-day walking tour of Rome. And all you had to do was like go into McDonald's and you could get this map.
Well, that's nice.
And it was like literally the best map you could ever have.
That's community friendly.
You just walk around and you got to see all the things. But okay, so that was my side story. Okay,
in
so
Peloton,
how many are in Spain?
You can get a map of the stars.
Okay.
But there are no stars in Peloton.
Okay.
So it's not a good map.
But you're a star. People are pretending to be you.
If I'm the closest thing to a star here, this is a very sorry little community.
Well, I didn't, you know. Okay. Wasn't going to go there.
Did we answer how many there were in there's 600.
No, we did not. I was going to say two, but okay.
Do you know how many 600. There are in the Basque region of Spain?
Two.
I don't know.
Okay.
No. All right. I need you to tell me which of the following is not on the McDonald's menu in Spain.
Okay.
How have we not done this yet?
I don't know.
Spain's a big country. McDonald's is a big chain. This seems easy.
Yes.
All right. But the Spaniards, which is not what we call Spanish people.
No.
Can choose from four things here. Are you ready? One of them is fake.
Okay.
The McRoyal Deluxe. This is hard to say. The Mech Extreme Dippin' Cheese Double.
Okay.
The Mac Extreme, and there was a distinction between Mech and Mac. The Mac Extreme Pulled Pork. I think I need the word sandwich there. And the McCrispy Ham and Cheese. I need something to fill the dead air.
I know. There's music.
Well, you could also hum, too. Blah, blah, blah.
You don't want me to hum.
Probably not.
Okay, what was the first one?
The McRoyal Deluxe.
I think it's got to be the ham and cheese thing.
Did you ever see the movie Pulp Fiction?
It's been many years.
Okay, I'm sorry. So McRoyal Deluxe, Mech Extreme Dippin' Cheese Double, Mac Extreme Pulled Pork, or the McCrispy Ham and Swiss?
Yeah.
What do you say?
The ham and cheese Swiss.
It's fake?
Yeah.
It is!
Huh?
Nice job.
Yeah, that just doesn't, I mean, I would think they would call it like jambon or something like that.
You're not familiar with the McRoyal exchange in Pulp Fiction?
No.
You need to watch that.
Okay.
It is a cultural thing.
Okay.
All right. We got a couple minutes here left. I mentioned that I finally finished my piece on my daughter buying a car. So that is done. Very happy with that piece. So,
okay. Yeah,
people should check that out. You have a GoFundMe campaign.
Yep. We mentioned that at the beginning.
Yep. And that's, how do people find that?
You put it on the Facebook page. So if you go to the Facebook page, for the Car Stuff Podcast, you'll be able to find it there.
Speaking of that, if people want to do us a favor, follow us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast on Facebook. Also reviews. If you're on Apple.
Yep.
Leave us a review. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Only if it's a nice one, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll take our lumps.
Yeah.
Especially for making fun of Swedish people.
Well, yeah, there is that.
All right, full show. Thank you to Samantha Barber and Becky Brophy of Toyota. Thank you, Jill. Thank you to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.